Just so you guys know, if somebody, if when Pastor walks up here in the middle of a song, he's not trying to interrupt the song. It's just that it's not on the camera. And so he wants to be ready for those that are watching online. Well, let's try this again. Good morning, church. Good morning. Isn't it awesome to be in God's house today? Amen. How many people here have a favorite TV show that they watch? You don't have to tell me which one. Please don't tell me which one. I don't want to have to judge you. Just kidding. How many people have a show you watch regularly? All right. So how many people have ever gone on that Monday night, Tuesday night, and you've turned it on, and you're like, oh, where's my show? It's not on. Anybody? And then you make all these, then you're like calling the network, where's my show? Well, this morning, if you came this morning, I just want you to know, Pastor Powell's not here as the normal programming has been delayed for 1 week. No, it's exciting to have the opportunity to share. I am always just humbled. Humbled to share the truth, right? And this morning, I want us to turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start here. But as we read, I'd like you to consider this with me. If you think about the word pursued, pursue, or pursuing, this morning we're going to look at this word as a verb and as an adjective. As a verb and as an adjective, something to be pursued, and then also what it means to have a pursuing love. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3, starting verse 13. Paul says here, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded and established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And it's funny, we hear the song at verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be all the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Father, today we come before you humbled with this mere words. We pray today that you would breathe life into those words as has been shared already this morning, that you would create within us an unction, a desire, a time, a place that, as the psalmist said in Psalm 42:1, that as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul after you, O God. And so, Lord, today we ask that you would give us clarity and understanding, and let us just speak, not from this pulpit, but let it speak as the whispers of God to each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about this. When we talk about pursuing today, it's one of the P's that are innate to man, that we are built to protect and to pursue. But I want you to think about this. What are the things that are pursued as we look through the Word of God, pursued in the natural, even in the Bible? The disciples, let's think about the disciples this morning. They pursued a teacher. They pursued miracles. They pursued a kingdom. But they didn't really grasp what was right in front of them. Judas even maybe pursued from the standpoint of his desire for money. He was probably thinking, hey, following this guy around is going to be a pretty good gig. We're going to make a lot of coin off of this traveling show that we have here. But they pursued those things not knowing it. How about the flesh? I want you to think, how about those of that pursue self-righteousness? It's easy today for us to find ourselves in a place where we are pursuing what seems to be good, but is not God. There are many things in our life that are good, but are not God. And the danger in our walk with God today, or the danger as we look at life as it is before us today, is that we get tied up and attached to the good and forget that there is God. Think about this in Luke chapter 18, verse 11 through 14. Jesus talks about praying, and he says there was a Pharisee that went down into the street, and he cried out, I thank God that I am not like all these others. Well, goody for you. I thank God that I am not like all these others. And by the way, if you read that portion there, he names them all. Wants to make sure that everybody around, if they didn't already know what to look for in a sinner, I'm here to tell you because I'm not it, but they are. And then Jesus talks about the publican, the tax collector. And you see a stark difference because what does he say? He cries out in simple faith and humility, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What's the difference in their pursuit? The Pharisee was pursuing accolades, was pursuing people to say, wow, you are so spiritual. The publican was pursuing a relationship with a merciful God. And today, I just want us to look at this together. Because right after that portion, if you continue to read, Jesus goes into, we all remember, the about the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler came, and he said, good teacher. And Jesus challenges that. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. And then he goes, so he sets the stage. This guy is pursuing good. He wants to fit into the category of good. Now you may say this morning, Pastor Kevin, why is it wrong to be good? I mean, huh, now I'm really confused. No, but Jesus wants to draw a distinction today on the things we pursue, because only one of those things will satisfy us. Only one of those areas satisfies. He goes on to say, look, I've kept all the laws. I've kept all the rules. And Jesus says, okay, then sell all you have and give to the poor. And it says this. It says that he went away sad. Why? I mean, you've got it going on. You've got all. God knows I would love to be that guy that could say I've kept all the commandments. Amen? Not here. And yet, he goes away poor. Why? Because he said, I'm justifying, I am putting my label, I'm my standard comes upon the rule book. The standard comes upon the rule book and not a relationship with Jesus Christ. If he could have said this, if he could have said, listen, sell all you have, man, I'm rich, and give to the poor. If I do that, But I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 13, 5, he says, I'll never leave you. You don't have to envy and want or covet for anything because I have promised you I will never leave you or forsake you. He could have said, my relationship with the Lord will keep me. Okay, I'll do it. When you think about this, they're all fleshly standards that we set up. And then at the end of that chapter, the disciples are sitting there scratching their head, well then, man, who can be saved? And he said, they all say this, just when you thought it was safe, the disciples in their flesh don't let you down. Because they say, oh, well, even us, Lord, we've sold all we have to follow you. Again, your standard, our standard is so easily pulled aside. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 to 34. Jesus is speaking here and he says this. He says, the Gentiles seek all these outward things. They eagerly seek the things that they will eat, the things that they will wear. But your Father knows all your needs. And then he says, so seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Now, many times we hear that, oh, don't worry about tomorrow. Okay, that's not a passive command. That's an active command. As you actively pursue a relationship with me, you will have the ability to not worry about tomorrow. And many times, and we're going to share today, we're going to talk about the life of Paul here in a moment, but I just want you to think, many times in the walk of the Christian, many times in those in our families and our loved ones, the struggle comes in not because God has let them down. The struggle has come is because all of their effort has gone to pursuing what they think will get them to peace in their life. But this is a command when he says, don't worry. It's a command to pursue a relationship, not a rule book. I want you to think about it. I'll give you a couple examples here. There was a story about a couple that was on the verge of divorce. And they went to they tried all of it, you know, long walks on the beach, holding hands, going to coffee all the time, date night, that's the solve for everything, right? They went to marriage seminars, and nothing was working, so they went to the therapist, the pastor, and he gave them, he said, tell you what, I want you to go over here, and he said to the husband, I want you to go over here, and I want you to write down all, on this side of the page all the good things, and on this side of the page all the bad things. And so they both did it, and they came back, and they said, well, here's the answers, and he looked at it, and the bad side of the page was loaded. And the good side of the page was okay. And so he read through them, and he ripped it up in front of them. He threw it away. And they go, what are you doing? You know how hard that was for me? Which we all know. It really wasn't that hard to fill out that bad side of the page. And he says, the problem here is, in your marriage, you're more worried about pursuing a rule book than you are a relationship. I want you to think today that every time that we come together and we come to church, we have a rule book. Amen? We have a rule book. In church, we come and we get an update on the rule book. The example that I want you to share, I heard this recently, and it's the difference between a rule book and a playbook. Those of you who follow football, we all know that in the NFL, there's the NFL rule book. And every team in the NFL has access to and has to follow a rule book. But then every team has its own unique playbook. And that playbook is not sent to everybody else. I want you to think today that we have the opportunity in our pursuit with a relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ, that we come to church to hear about the rule book. But in the midst of sitting in this church, as Pastor Jim said, the word can come alive and the whispers of God can come and give you a playbook for you and for you and for you and for me individually. And far too often what happens is people come and they say, I'm satisfied with the rule book. I don't need the playbook. But I don't know why I don't sense the presence of God in my life. I don't understand why I don't see victory for me. It's because, you know, if you ever watch a football game and they're calling in a call to what the play is going to be, they do this. You know why they do that? Because it's not for everybody to know. And when we come and we hear the word of God, the Spirit of God is wants to speak to our hearts individually and say, this is the way I have for you. Walk in it. When it says there in Matthew chapter 6 that our Father knows all of your needs. Well, if I'm not in a relationship, a deep relationship, where I'm pursuing a relationship and I'm satisfied with the rule book, yeah, I'm going to come in and I'm going to hear a great message, but it never breaks the bondage. It never cracks open the areas that I am most in need of. Why? Because the Spirit of God is calling a play, but the headset in my helmet has been turned off. Pursuing a relationship with Him. Pursuing hard after God means we come and we listen to the word from the rule book, and then we hear the uniqueness of words. That's why it's so important about familiarity, that I come to church and I don't hear the beginning of a verse and go, I know that verse, and I start turning it off. But I'm listening because today there's something new. Today there's something fresh. If I believe that in Lamentations chapter 3 that His mercies are new every morning. There was a reason why when the children of Israel were in the wilderness that He said, only take enough food for today. Because tomorrow, today's food's not going to be the same. It's not going to meet the same need. And people, we as individuals in our flesh, tend to pursue things that will satisfy us, yet coming up empty every single time. There's others in the Bible who were pursuing many different things. Think about this in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. She has a horrible self-image. Her life has been a shambles. She didn't know what she was pursuing. Think about it. She had enough of the physical. That didn't satisfy. Because of her choices in life, she had lost all social. So she couldn't rely on the social aspect. There's a reason why she was there at the well at high noon at the hottest part of the day, because she didn't want anybody to see her. And then as she spoke to Jesus, realizing that He was a rabbi, and He began to speak, and she began to speak back, and she was throwing out some spiritual stuff. Well, we worship like this. And He says, you don't even know what you worship. You don't even understand it. And there are people today that are when asked, what are you pursuing today? Well, I pursue like Jesus and God and the cross. It's cool. People like it. I think there's an empty tomb mixed in there somewhere. But I'm saved and going to heaven. I got my ticket punched. And man, I sure could help use some help in the here and now, though. Why? Because there's no pursuit of a relationship, the intimacy of that. There's a reason why in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, you know the love chapter, right? There, where he talks about that. There's a portion where Paul says this, now we look through a glass darkly, but then I will know even as I am known. There's intimacy there. Paul said there's intimacy with the Lord. There's intimacy that I have the opportunity to have. I don't have to just have a generic walk with God. I can dive deeper, and I could start to realize here on earth the intimacy of what Jesus Christ desires to be in my life through the Holy Spirit and His power. There is this. So the woman at the well, she was shattered, and then she goes through all these things. I'm trying to figure out what I'm pursuing, and then she begins to pursue a relationship. Tell me, wait, how did you know about my husband's and that whole scenario? And suddenly a relationship came. And when the relationship came, guess what happened? It became so alive in her and so pertinent to her walk that she ran back to town, leaving her water pot. Now, that's a big deal. Like, you don't, it's not like us. She didn't have a whole cupboard full of Tupperware, unused Tupperware that had been there for, sorry, honey, I got off track there for a minute. But she had a water pot, and she left it, and she ran back. And where did she go? She went back, and she came into a place, and she didn't say, hey, listen, I just went to church, and I just heard about the rule book, and I heard all the things that I'm doing wrong, and I found all the ways that I can't live up. She didn't say that. She says, come and see a man that I now have a relationship with. Because he looked into my soul. He pursued me with the love that was born out through the Father. And today, he's still pursuing us. And he's still coming after me. And he said, please don't just land here and say, I'm visiting once a week at church. And you know what? That's good. But he says, I want you to come to church. And I want you to hear about the life of Christ. Then I want you to go back. And I want you to listen. Listen for the intimacy of the whispers of God as he begins to speak to you individually. Because otherwise we live in this place of I got this badge of honor called Christianity, but I have no life. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Like when Gianna walked out there, or she didn't walk out, but she walked, her mom carried, look, that was life. And we all are breathing today through a mask, and that's life. But I want you to know that he says, I didn't come for you to have life. I came that you would have life more abundantly. And that comes in here. There's a story of in the Civil War, if you were up north and you desired to stay home from war, you could pay somebody to take your place. And there's a story of a man named Mr. Pratt who desired to stay out of the Army. And so he found this loophole and he said, I'm going to find somebody to go to war for me. And he found Mr. White. Mr. White came in and they made the agreement. He paid the bill. And Mr. White went off to war for Mr. Pratt. Well, Mr. White was killed in war. When that took place, the draft board called Mr. Pratt again. And he says, hey, you know what? We need you to come. Mr. Pratt then took the agreement that he had and he took it to the draft board. He goes, your request is ineligible because I have an agreement here that says someone else took my place. Someone else went and died in my place. And so therefore, you can't redraft me. And the reason I'm saying this today is when we have a deep walk with God, we have a relationship that's alive and vibrant, and it's not just a church thing, a religious thing, but I've identified the person of Jesus Christ that I am walking with, and he's ministering to me, and I'm walking with him, and I hear his voice. Guess what? When the devil comes and says, I want to redraft you into your old lifestyle, I want to redraft you into your old way of thinking, I want to redraft you into the way you used to speak, you could say, hey, I have an agreement today, And Jesus Christ has already paid the bill. And that says this, that my relationship that I am actively pursuing can't be redrafted and drawn back into the old life. Amen? That's exciting today. Pursuing love that draws us beyond religiosity into a relationship where we're learning the plans and the thoughts Jesus has towards us. Great. Many of us quote this verse. I know the thoughts and plans I have towards you, and they are thoughts of peace for great gain. I love the next verse. And if you seek for me, you will find me. Oh, church, today, the greatest areas of my life that I've struggled with is because I've gone to church and I've heard the rule book and I've gone, that's good. It's not there. Well, not there today. I've had people say to me, I went to church with this issue and he didn't speak on that issue. Therefore, I'm incomplete. That's because you were reading the rule book. You weren't listening for the Spirit of God to call in the play and to set you free. So let's look now, if you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy. We're going to look at a man who learned the rule book, but then said that's not enough. Many of them were his life, and many of those around him's lives were turned upside down because he didn't settle for just the law. Just the rule book. He dove deeper into a relationship. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to go through all four chapters today, so hopefully you didn't have anywhere to go. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But I want to set the stage for you because this is an interesting chapter. Paul is speaking here from a dungeon. He is in the Mamertine prison below the streets of Rome, realizing this. He's about to be beheaded, and he knows it. And as he's listening to this sound of soldiers' feet above him, anytime now, he just knows. And he comes here, and he has some last words for Timothy. I want you to think about words as we talked about the word pursuing, and that is a verb and that is an adjective. But I want you to think about last words. Last words are so vital. They're important, aren't they? They're important at an airport when someone's about to be deployed and you're saying goodbye. They're important at a bedside in an ICU that many times those last words, we don't speak a lot, we just listen because they're vital. And Paul is speaking to Timothy today in this portion. And Paul's in prison and he begins to say, there's not a lot of time for idle chatter. There's a play that needs to be called. It's vital that we get this right. We know that in Acts chapter 9, the Saul, who became Paul, met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and was converted. As you track through Paul's life, it's pretty interesting. It's been said this, tracking through, one commentator that I read said this, tracking Paul's life through time is like tracking a bleeding rabbit across the snow. Because there were so many things that were coming against him. The Romans turned against him. The Jews turned against him. Stonings, beatings, shipwrecks, false imprisonment. Even snake bites. Man, just when you thought it was safe. Snake bites. But yet now we have these final words from the dungeon. And as you hear him speak to Timothy, My wife and I were just sharing the other day about people that we know that when you get around them, there's a lot to talk about for some folks. And most of it's complaining. And we all do it. We all have a moment. Did you ever notice when you have something to complain about? Speaking of pursuing, the first thing you pursue is what? Someone to agree with you. Paul says here, hi, I don't have time for that, Timothy. We have things to talk about. Why? Because Paul said, I was the Pharisee of Pharisees. I know the rule book. My whole life, since that day on the road to Damascus, I've been pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now in the dungeon, just a short time from being beheaded, I need to make sure I pass on not the rule book, but what it means to have a relationship with a risen Savior. Because that is what sustains me here. And so he's speaking to Timothy. Timothy had a Greek father, Jewish mother, and a Jewish grandmother, so they were both believers. He met Paul around when he was 20, got converted. And now we have this time, he's in his mid-30s, he's pastoring a church in Ephesus. And although he's introverted, Paul didn't go, hey, Tim, he probably called him Tim. Tim, hey, look, I know that you're an introvert, and it's all good. It's all good. No, he didn't say that. He says, Timothy, it is important that you stir up your faith. I need it to be stirred up. And you can't do that if you just have the rule book. You can't just do that unless you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we see here, then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, that Paul knows that his time is coming to the end. He has a picture of Nero's hate-filled eyes in his mind's eye. But now, the face of Jesus Christ becomes clearer. Why? Because it's been a deep relationship this whole time. And he says, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. But before I go, it is so important that I pass the torch. And he says to him, Christ, I need you, Timothy, to pursue Christ at every turn. Don't compromise the Word of God. Pursue it with all you've got, because it's worth it. Most of us can't fathom what it means, this story about a martyr. What does that even mean? Guy died for his belief. A lot of people die. You know why we think that? Because, number one, we have it so good. We're not imprisoned because of our faith yet. We haven't lost all because of our walk with Jesus Christ yet. And Paul is saying, Timothy, this is vital. And so he's dying. Heresy in the church is on the rise. And he says, it's too important to let this torch drop. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 6, please. And as we read this portion, I want you to consider the days we live in today. Today. I'm saying that like that. I'll try this. This is done another try. Everybody say today. Well, today. There we go. I just said that because I don't want you to think this is just for then. Verse 6, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us in a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life immortally to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am convinced or persuaded that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. That's a relationship speaking. That's a deep understanding. There was a reason that when Paul only knew the rule book, he was still killing Christians. There was a reason why, because there was no life, there was no person behind it. And he comes in here and he says, for this reason, also I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believed, and I am convinced or persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? Are you convinced this morning? When things don't go your way, are you persuaded? Are you convinced? Are you ashamed? Do you question, man, this God thing, this church thing, this Christian thing doesn't seem to be working out? Or are you convinced because there's a relationship that's being pursued and you're pursuing him, but let me promise you this, much more than you pursue him, he is pursuing you in actuality. And so we see here, you can't do this effectively. Religion doesn't cut it. He's saying, I want you to understand passion for the eternal, starting with a relationship of intimacy with Jesus Christ. We said this a few weeks ago, but people say, I want an intimacy with Jesus Christ. Well, many of us want intimacy through a visitation, meaning we visit once a week. But Jesus says, I want intimacy with you through a habitation of living and breathing and understanding your thoughts and intents. Before you even speak a word, I want you to know I understand where you've been. Many today look for fulfillment in so many areas of their life. And even many say, okay, I'll check the box and I'll come to church. And yet they're still empty. But there is a reason today why in Hebrews chapter 13, he says, no need to covet, for I will never leave you or forsake you. We pursue scriptures through chapter 3 verse 16. If you look at that, this is the verse that Timothy is talking about, the scriptures, and he tells Paul is talking to Timothy about the scriptures, and he says this: all scripture is inspired by God. Next time somebody says, well, it's just a book written by men, all scripture is inspired by God, the finger of God. And then he says this: and is profitable for teaching, for reproof and correction, for the training of righteousness, so that a man of God may be equipped for every good work. Today, don't ladies, don't get caught on that word, every man. That's mankind, every one of us. The Word of God, that's where it lives. That's where it lives. Look, you can't hear the play if you're working off a different sheet of music, as they say. We come here and I say, God, I will avail myself to you through your word, and I'll allow you. You can just picture this. In time, in eternity, God looks at your individual situation and he whispers the play. He whispers, look, that what you just read, here's what it's designed to do in your life. Would you embrace that? Would you move forward with that? And so we see here, we pursue that. Pursuing the Word of God works a lot better with intimacy. Look, it takes you pursuing it. It takes me pursuing it. I was watching a Family Feud recently, and it said, the question was, how long did your wife, if we were asked, ask 100 women, whatever they say,